This is Gloria Minot Presents.
My guest is journalist Michael Ware. He embedded with a gang of Russian bikers on National Geographic. His new series is called Uncensored with Michael Ware, airing Tuesdays at 10, 9 Central. He joins me this morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing...
Actually, I'm a little bit jet-lagged. I've been around the world in 8 days. I'm a bit fuzzy on where I am and what time of day it is.
Okay, let me tell you where you are. We're Washington, D.C., WPFW Radio, and we're talking about your new series, Uncensored, with Michael Ware on National Geographic. It begins on Tuesday. So... let's talk about some of the places you've gone. Papua New Guinea, what stands out for you on your visits there?
Well, you know, Papua New Guinea is a very complex place, and that's the freedom of this show. I mean, National Geographic has given us an opportunity to go out and try and do a new form of journalism for TV. It's literary journalism for television. You know, sort of hearkening back to the spirit of Tom Wolfe and Gay Talese and the School of New Journalism. Now, what that means for us in Papua New Guinea is almost a snapshot into human prehistory. It is so underdeveloped. They're still burning women alive at the stake in the public square for being witches. So we wanted to go there and examine that. It turns out the belief in witchcraft, the belief in sorcery, courses through that entire country. No matter how much modernity has arrived, a parliamentary system of government, independent from colonial rule since 75, cell phones and towers everywhere, the belief in witchcraft undercuts it all. From the very top of the government to the very bottom. So it's a phenomenon that when someone dies, say of cancer or of AIDS or of something that you cannot see, they don't ask what happened. They ask, who did it? And then the torture begins. And they torture women till they confess that they are, yes, witches, and then they murder them.
Good heavens.
That's what took me there.
Oh, that's hard to to absorb.
Yeah, it's a lot, eh?
Yes, it is. You also gain insider access to the Iranian dissident group, and I'm going to have you say what the group is, what the name
Mujahideen-e-Khalq.
Okay.
Or if it's easier to say in English, the People's Mujahideen of Iran. That's what they, you know, that's their sanitized version of their title.
What's their goal?
To overthrow the Iranian regime using armed revolution or any other means, and to replace the religious regime in Tehran with a democratic one, presumably led by them. They're led, some people call this group a cult, right? Because they do have some very fanatical, very sort of, what would you call them? I guess cultish ways.
For example?
These guys. Well, there's a sense of rehearsed answers. There's a sense of groupthink. There is a sense of, you know, self-confession in a group environment. But two fascinating things about these guys. One, they're led by a woman. The leader is a woman. She has been since they were expelled from Iran in 79 or 80. And to go along with that, when I first met them, I met them when they were still in Iraq in their army base. Army bases in Iraq from which they used to literally use tanks and artillery to attack Iran. Many of those tanks were driven by women. And the final thing is, these guys are the best eyes and ears inside Iran that the West has. They were principally responsible for smuggling out the document that finally proved Iran was developing a secret nuclear weapons program. So whether you think these guys are nutty as squirrels, they are the real deal. And I had to chase them across Western Europe
I'm talking with Michael Ware. We're discussing his new series on National Geographic, Uncensored, with Michael Ware. Now, I'm going to talk to you about two places, and I want you to emphasize what struck out in these places, Swaziland and Cuba.
All right. Well, I was really hoping you were going to say New York Fashion Week.
Oh, we're going to that. I'm saving that for last.
Straight out of Hunter S. Thompson going to the Kentucky Derby.
Okay.
Swaziland, a place of incredible contradiction. Here is this tiny fly speck of a nation that's landlocked within South Africa, and it's ruled by the last true king of Africa. There are other monarchs, but he's the last absolute monarch. There's only five or six of them left on the planet. Literally, he is a true king in the sense of off with their heads and off with your head. He has a parliament that essentially he reads. No piece of legislation is enacted until he signs off on it, and it's all written to his own device. He has absolute power. Now, the funny thing is that while most of his country lives in hunger and he can enjoy a luxurious lifestyle with a $60-odd million royal budget that comes straight out of the state coffers, his people adore him. They love him. So what for me it came down to is, well, personally, I've never met a king, so I was very keen, and a real king. But one of the questions I wanted to answer was, is a king meant to serve his people, or is his people there to serve the king? And what you'll see in this episode will confound you.
The New York Fashion
Cuba.
Okay.
No. Let's go to Fashion Week. My God, what a disaster that was. You want to send a damaged, broken, messed up war correspondent to Fashion Week and just unleash him? Well, you know how well that's going to turn out. Like I said, it was Hunter S. Thompson at the Kentucky Derby. All I was missing was Ralph Steadman. It was an incredible event. I mean, this is one of the most spectacular, elegant extravaganzas that, you know, on the planet. New York Fashion Week. And we got to go behind the scenes. I have no idea why, but some of the biggest names in fashion let us inside. We got to go to their studios. We got to see them, you know, putting frocks on models and deciding if they're the right one. We saw them preparing their shows. We saw the shows. We saw the parties. And it was mind-boggling. Now, if you're into fashion, there's an insight here that I doubt you've ever seen before. If, like me, you don't give a flying toss about fashion, there's still an adventure there that will blow your mind.
We're going to wrap on that, but just give me a few words about you embedding with a gang of Russian bikers.
Well, in the West, some people call them Putin's biker gang, because Russian President Vladimir Putin has adopted this biker gang. He rides with them occasionally, and he provides them with state funding. This is a biker gang. It's really a biker's club. But when we say biker gang, we think Hell's Angels. We think Bandidos. We think Comancheros. No. These guys are deeply religious, deeply patriotic. They exist only because they love their bikes, and because they want a return of the Soviet Union, basically, of a Russian Federation. They even fought on the front lines in Ukraine. So that's where I went and met them, on the front lines. They are the face of the new Russia. We've heard about Russia and cyber attacks on the US election. We've heard about Trump and Putin. We know that Putin has virtually won the war in Syria that we didn't even engage in. But what we didn't know is just how popular Putin is back home, just how much the Russians yearn to be Russians again and to rebuild their empire. And we had no idea how complex that place is. And so through this bikie gang, I get a window into one of the greatest geopolitical stories currently underway on the planet.
And viewers will get a chance to do so as well, Uncensored with Michael Ware. It airs on Tuesday.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Nine Central. Nine Central. Michael Ware, good to talk to you. Take care.
It was a great pleasure. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.